Strap on your seatbelts and put on your disco pants. Get ready for the funky, fresh banter of Dr. Frunky, Mike of Human Blade, and Ian from CNF Metalworks. We're gonna molest your ears with the funky, fresh talk that is Knives.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Knife Life Podcast. Tonight, we've got a special episode. More of a fireside chat kind of a situation going on, because we're just going to have a small group with myself. We've got Mike over here. Say hi, Mike.
Hey, I'm Mike. I'm Bloomin' Blade on Instagram.
And we have a very special guest. We have Ian Pekarski of CMF Metalworks. What's going on, Ian?
Hey, Ian. Hey, guys. How you doing?
It is really exciting to have you on. We're going to be talking about him and his knives and just kind of talking and shooting the shit and having a good time and just getting into our knife lives right now. So how's it going, guys? What's going on?
Good. And this is good timing because I just this weekend met Ian in the city to pick up my first CMF.
Not a knife. City where it's illegal to have knives. Not a city where it's illegal to have knives.
Not a city where it's illegal. Just,
let's put that on the table.
Yeah. Especially when there's cops what across the street. Ian hit me up. This was a surprise build. I had been talking to Ian for a little bit, and then he was coming up to the city.
Surprise build. He was like, hey, I made this knife, and you owe me for it. Surprise.
Bring cash. So we put it together pretty quickly, and I had been lusting after his knives for a while, so I got a Crusade Mini with a Damocor blade, titanium scales, black tie Damascus clip, and pivot inlay. And what's the size on this thing? Ian, it's the smallest, what is this, a 3-inch blade? A little under three?
2.5 inch on the edge.
2.5 inch edge, and really light. It's
2.6 ounces.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, I just picked it up, what was that, Ian, Saturday afternoon?
Saturday afternoon, correct.
Yep, so I've been carrying it for a couple days now. You know, I like these small ones, Frank, and it's like a fifth pocket knife, really good to be carrying in New York, super light.
It's a really classy little piece. That's very nice.
Yep, not too loud. So, crazy fucking sharp.
Yeah, so Ian, tell me, I was curious, what was it like working with the Damocor?
It was kind of like pretty much just working with Damasteel. The only real difference being the finish on the core was different than I expected. Mm-hmm. The jacket etched beautifully. But the first time I etched it, the core turned out like kind of like a black. And then I added a little ferric chloride to the acid and refinished the blade because I wasn't a fan of it. There was a smudge somewhere on there. I refinished it. And the second time, after adding the ferric, the core actually came out silver, which was the opposite of what the Damasteel website said would happen.
Yeah, I want to figure out how to make it silver. I think a silver core is really pretty.
It turned out all right. It's kind of like a...
turned out like, all right.
How would you describe it? It's kind of like a rainbow if you look at it in the right light.
Yeah, I think you described it well. I mean, you can take a look there on the video that I posted, Frank, and you get a pretty good sense.
Watching it now, yeah. It's really nice.
I think it came out great, Ian. And this is also this was my first knife with Damocor, also, Frank, so I was super excited.
Very cool. I'm just curious about, you know, it's a new steel. You know, I've been kind of I have it on a knife. I have it on a second knife coming. I think that we're all excited about it, but I'm curious from like a maker's perspective, if you felt like it was, you know, a good steel to work with, like it got hard.
It got real hard.
Good, good. And you think it like cut well and like it felt tough when you were grinding it and stuff. I'm just curious about that.
I can't really attest to the longevity of the edge just because I'm not the one who owns the knife.
Yeah.
As far as grinding it, it felt like grinding any other hardened steel, really. I think my only real complaint is, why does there have to be a specific core steel? You know, it's kind of like you guys make this steel, RWL34, which is already a very good steel if you heat treat it properly. Why not just put Damasteel with RWL34 as the core? I understand they want the core to be a different color than most of the jacket, but...
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they didn't do something like a stainless, like an M390 equivalent or RWL. Like, Why not? It the nitrogen steel is cool. I appreciate it. It's neat from like a Matreil's perspective, right? You know, I'm into that stuff, but I hear you. It's not the most beautiful thing in the world because, like you were saying, it doesn't come out polished.
I think they should kind of follow the path of some of the other Damascus makers out there and have variations in their Damacor. As far as core material goes, kind of from a more budget option being the RWL 34 core going to a higher option such as XHP core, which doesn't etch in muriatic acid and would look phenomenal with Damasteel jacket.
Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be very cool. So I think we jumped the gun here a bit. Mike, you got your first CMF Metalworks knife. Is that right?
This was my first one. I was very excited for this.
Ian, how many knives up until Mike's knife do you think that you have made at this point? Maybe you know exactly how many.
More than 10.
More than 10. Significantly more than 10.
Definitely more than 10.
Exclusive.
The reason I ask is because I just wanted to sort of ask you about your origins and kind of how you got into making knives and see if you could tell our listeners.
I kind of started in the modding community. With Balisongs, and I started off with just literally a double boiler full of multi-etch, a container full of baking soda and distilled water, and an anodizing machine.
Baking soda. I got baking soda.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's it. And I modded countless Balisongs. Cool. Up until a point where
When was this? Years-wise, like...
Oh, shit. 3 years
ago? This is like 1973? Okay, 3 years sure. ago?
Yeah, 2015.
Okay.
Maybe even the end of 2016, to be honest. And I did that for a bit, and then I realized, it's like, I want to do this for a living. I should probably learn how to grind. So I saved up for a belt grinder. And I bought my belt grinder, and I did regrinds that now I would consider to be amateur. And I slowly got better at it. How many what?
No, I was just saying, I mean, that makes sense. And you have to start somewhere. Yeah.
You do. I wish I did it a little differently, but you can't go back in time. So I did a bunch of regrinds. And one time I was on Facebook. And I was scrolling. And I saw that Tough Knives posted from the King of Prussia Mall, which is near me. So I reached out to him. I never got a response. I mean, who am I? I'm just some fucking guy with the username Well-Rounded Electronics Guru with fucking 380 followers. So why would anyone answer that, right? So I eventually gave him a call, and he answered, and I told him exactly what was up, and I bought one of his knives. And kind of from that point forward, he became my mentor.
Huh.
He kind of like took me in a shop. I worked in his shop for probably about a combined like 10 months. To this day, he's probably one of my closest friends, both distance wise and personally.
Kind of did like a apprenticeship almost.
I would consider it that. Yeah. Okay. He taught me a lot.
Cool.
Of course, I've adjusted a lot of stuff to my own liking and learned a lot from a lot of other people and kind of mishmashed that all into my own style.
Sure. I would not say that your two styles really even resemble each other almost at all. And I don't mean that in a negative way to either of you guys. I just mean like you have a very unique style and so does he.
I think my earlier stuff kind of resembled it, kind of saw where the roots were.
Okay.
I think I've kind of developed my own style since then. At least personally, I think so.
For sure. Absolutely.
Oh, I'd agree with that. Your knives are really recognizable quickly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so when did you make your first, when did you sell your first custom knife? Your full on, this is it. Here's my folder.
February 4th of 2017.
So it's really only been a short time that you've been making knives. You've really come a long way in such a time.
It has been about a year and 11 months, 10 months.
Wow.
Damn. That's really quick.
I will say handling, I handled Crusade number 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then recently you sent me a new Crusade and it's night and day. And the Crusade number 3 was nice in its own way. But now it really feels like you've come a long way. They're super evolved. It's so nice. And a lot of Mike, I mean, tell us about your knife, man. What do you think?
He hates it.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems that we can talk about when this recording is over. No, it's great. I had also handled a few at shows. I think most of the ones I had handled were newer, you know, maybe within the last half year or something. So they were already really nice and pretty refined, felt great. The action was excellent. And this one is just great. There's nothing bad I can say about it. I love it. Came together nice and simply. I kept it, you know, I didn't go crazy with the materials, Frank, and we've discussed trying to pull back on the all dress stuff.
Yeah,
and this is like an EDC version of you know, of one of his, with the fifth pocket size, nice and tiny.
You can go off the deep end very quickly.
I've been there and I'm trying to rein it in just a little bit.
You know, and Ian,
you know, this one did it.
Ian even said that to me. I was like, "Hey man, what do you think about this?" And you were like, "No."
I think as I move forward, I have to be more picky with the materials that certain people pick out.
Yeah.
Because at some point it reflects negatively on myself.
Yeah. If it's not a combination that represents something you want to make.
Mike, did you say how so?
Yeah, I said it. Yeah, how do you mean? Is it, yeah.
Oh, we don't want to jump down that rabbit hole.
No, I mean, we can, all holes, this is an all holes kind of a situation.
All inclusive.
I mean, Ian, when we put this together, we had a build, we sorted out the details pretty quickly on this one.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it was,
I think
this was like 5 minutes.
Started.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wasn't super picky. Plus, you know, you mentioned Damocor right in the beginning, which, Frank, as you know, I've wanted something with Damocor for a while. So really, as soon as that was nailed down and the size of it was nailed down and it was going to be skeletonized for a little bit of weight savings, I was kind of good with that. So we came, you know, we had the rest of the details sorted out within a couple minutes. It was great. Super easy. Well, for me, maybe not for Ian.
No,
he had to do the work.
I love it. I love my job.
That's great. That's really cool.
I get to wake up in the morning and do what I want to.
Yeah, so you do this full-time now, right, Ian? Or how long have you been doing it full-time?
Since I sold my first custom.
Since February 2017.
Correct.
Wow.
It's pretty good. That's great.
I know, I think Frank asked before, but how many have you built, roughly?
Oh, God, I don't know. After, like, number 30.
Okay.
I'd say in the vicinity of 150, maybe? No, less than that. Maybe? I don't know.
Something like that.
Okay. Hey, Ian, you mentioned Jeff. I know you have a collaboration that's going on with him right now. Have you done a few collaborations with him?
Yeah. I mean, he taught me how to make knives. I've done countless things with him.
This was a pretty big the collaboration going on now.
The Black Knight Satellite.
I think we had one more that was kind of more exclusive before that. It was for a custom design that kind of we both drew up, and that was an auction a while back. But this one would be neat. Elijah, who designed the knife, for you guys who don't know that, that's Elijah Isham. He's designed a ton of knives for Wee Knife and other companies whose name I can't remember. both a phenomenal person and a phenomenal knife designer. And he designed this one, and then Jeff kind of put his own swing on it, and I just get to do the grind. But I'm proud to be part of it.
And that's going to be an auction piece.
It is.
Nice.
Well, I think that we should use that as a springboard, because you actually have done quite a few collaborations recently, and I think guys are coming to you for these things. I know that I had the Robert Carter collab on my channel a while back.
Mm-hmm. The F-16, the CMF-16. F-16.
That was a very successful run, man. How you made like 10 of those, something like that?
Four.
Four of those. Only four? Oh, wow. Man.
Yep,
those
are so cool. I want to say I have two more to make.
You still have two left to go.
I do. Yep. I don't know the specs on them. I know that one of them is for someone and the other one is not. It's just kind of there. So when those kind of come around, I'll figure it out.
Well, staying on collaborations, how the heck did the fucking Black Snow come up? Well,
there we go. That's the one I wanted to hear.
Oh, about. Fuck yeah.
So I hung out a lot with Lee Lerman and Black Snow and Matthew Patton of Slice FK Knives at the Vegas show. And I talked to Naughty a lot, probably to the point where he wanted to not talk to me for a bit. And I said, one time he posted a knife and I said, look, like I'd love to collaborate with you. If you could send me a knife in this shape, I would absolutely love it. And at that time, it was actually originally supposed to be an opiate model. And then Naughty a few weeks back, he was like, hey, it's going to be a mini sabotage. I don't have any opiate parts.
Nice.
Which to me was like, shit, like I love the opiate model, but who the hell is going to say no to a mini sabotage?
Okay.
I think, right? I think that may be his most desirable model, honestly.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't really have too much to do with it for me. I mean, I'm happy to have the experience.
Sure.
Naughty's become such a good friend. I mean, he's such a phenomenal knife maker. He's a phenomenal person. And to be able to collaborate with him is just...
I think he's got he's got the jeweler's touch to his finishes. It's just very perfect, everything.
Yes, he does.
You guys are in line with how sort of perfect your finish work is.
I think we both have pretty similar design language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. We both kind of agreed there that the design for the bolsters need to have no flat spots. There can be no flat spots on the knife. There could really be no out of place touches. Everything has to be deliberate. And I'm really excited to show him that I can do that and to kind of see what I can do with his instruction and his help, and especially on one of his knives.
So who's doing what on that collaboration? Like, who's building what?
It is almost 50-50. He did all the functionality. He did the detent. He set the backspacer. He made all the backspacer standoffs. He set the lockup. And then he sent it to me. I'll be doing the blade grind. I'll be doing the handles, the finishing work, all the like second 50%.
Got it.
Good, good. And I'll be able to buy it on Slice FK.
That is a negative. No.
Good. Good.
Eventually you will.
I went there. Well, that's really great, man. That's an incredible collaborative situation. Really happy to see how you've been coming along. What's on the horizon for you for your brand, for your knives?
Early 2019, I have a collaboration with Dalibor Bergen.
Oh.
Whoa.
We are doing a, I believe, an unnamed collaboration. No, it's not going to be a lotto, so you can just stand over there.
That's fine. That's great. That's cool. So integral.
Yes, sir. I'm pretty excited. I'm a little nervous. I'm very excited, though.
That is very cool, man. Okay.
That's not public yet. So for those of you listening to this, just don't tell anyone.
Secrets.
This is pretty high-end collaboration. Not down this road,
man. You are really,
I mean,
kind of doing the world tour, man. Seeing the international knife makers, it's pretty great.
It is fun. I enjoy it. I mean, so many makers kind of get lost in the business aspect of knife making, where they lose sight of the fun aspect of knife making. I'm in it largely for the. The art.
Speaking of the business side of it, Ian, do you do shows? Like, do you have plans to do, get tables at shows or anything? I mean, I've seen you as a part of the knife community at shows, but
that's where I met you.
Any plans?
You shared a table, right?
Correct.
Who did you? I'm guessing, who did you share the table with, and what show was it?
Hybel Knives and I. We did share a table. We did a lot of collaborations. Okay. For those of you wondering, we did a lot of collaborations, and I did share a booth with Hybel Knives this last Blade show, and then this coming year I'll have my own table at both Blade Show and the USN Gathering. I just paid for both of those.
Oh, nice.
I got to get my stuff together for the Blade Show. It's 6 months from now, but it's time.
You know? Oh, shit. Is it really that close? Fuck. I better get started.
Well,
yeah. Giving me an immediate headache.
Renaissance has been sold out for a while.
Yeah, thankfully, I had someone else make me a reservation for that.
There you go.
Yeah, I just stay down the street. It's kind of sucks. Anyways, Blade Show will be a lot of fun. So you went to the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
You going to any other shows before the Blade Show? Or have you done anything else since then?
I mean, I went to the NYCKS show in New York.
So you're in, where are you based out of, Ian?
Pennsylvania.
How far, stores. So you can like just, you know, slide on up to New York City?
It was about 2 hours. 2 hours drive.
That's not bad. That's really cool then.
Not terrible, no. Jeff was driving though, so that was terrifying.
Ah, yes.
Plus everybody, it was really shitty weather too that weekend.
It's true, but that didn't help his driving at all.
Yeah, everybody was all delayed and fucked up. But that's seeing you at the New York show, Ian, was how I ended up checking out the Lumablade stuff. Because you were all excited about a few of his customs. He had some nice shit at the show.
He had some beautiful work.
Lumablades. Yeah. For
those of you guys who don't know him, you can follow him under Lumablades on Instagram.
Man, that New York show, it seemed like it lasted about 15 seconds.
It's a short show.
It does. It's great.
It's not as short as the Kentucky Knife show. What is the Kentucky Knife? 6 hours? 4 hours? 6 hours?
Like, how do you find out? I tried to figure out when and where this place was, this thing was, and it's a secret. Like, it's just, I can't find it.
Which show, Frank?
Yeah, the Kentucky
show. The Kentucky one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think you're ever actually supposed to find out. I think it's just kind of like a guessing game. Yeah. You go to every bar you can find and just hope that there's someone with a knife.
Drive to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Wave a knife around and somebody will tell you where to go.
Is this where I'm supposed to be? I don't know.
Oh, man. Well,
Ian, I know you're busy making them, but do you collect much?
Fixed blades, I do.
Okay.
For the most part, I've stopped collecting folding knives.
Why is that?
After collecting folding knives for so long, it's I don't want to say it's become boring, but it doesn't give me the same pleasure as it does for other mediums of knife art or kind of the knife business. There are definitely a few standout makers that I look up to. Stan Wilson, definitely like at the top of the list. Black Snow, Lee Lerman, Frank Fisher. Believe it or not, I don't know why I say believe it or not. Taste Meads. Meads Knives out of South Africa.
He's that guy, so good.
Oh, he makes an incredible knife.
Did you saw his folder, I'm guessing, on Instagram too?
He's stunning. The
flipper that he made?
He did a beautiful job.
That guy is so good. His tolerances are ridiculous.
His slip joints are incredible.
Yeah, they're terrific. And he's also another just incredibly gregarious South African guy. He's so enthusiastic and appreciative. You know, he's a really easy guy to support.
My wife loves his voice.
Yeah. Have you met him?
I met him at Blade Show. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent guy.
He's fantastic to hang out with.
He's awesome.
Frank, did you see the flipper that he made and posted on Instagram perhaps 2 weeks ago?
I think I did, but you know, he's not on my radar like that, so I don't think it really registered in the same way.
Well, it's his first one, and he's been designing that for a long time. Ian, when you saw him,
I saw it, but I don't. Let me take a look.
Ian, I mean, at Blade Show, was he showing you the design?
Oh yeah, I
for that and everything he was.
I don't
so
know if he
excited.
Wants me to say it, but I don't care. I mean, of course I care, but he showed me well before his prototype came out.
He's been working on it for so long.
It is beautiful. Oh, yeah. He did a phenomenal job. He really made some excellent design choices in that knife. I'm excited to handle one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I think you can tell even from that video quickly, like the tolerance is going to be crazy on that knife. He does fantastic work.
Look at the people that he has teaching him, though. I mean, he has JVDV. He's got all those other South African guys. I mean, he's a
perfectionist.
Yeah.
Even his like presentation boxes with the wax seal, just everything has to be just right with him.
Yeah, he has no shortage of talent down there to kind of point him in the right direction.
You're right.
I am patiently awaiting a Thorburn right now.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Patiently waiting.
I hate using the word grail for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. I think it only really applies to a certain number of things, and it's things that should be ultimately either unachievable or just kind of out of the realm of realistic expectations. But today I was able to kind of nail down a knife from Mike Norris.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. Dude, I got to handle some of his fixed blades at Blade Show. Dude, they are immaculate, impeccable. They are perfect.
He makes some pretty nice steels.
He does, and he makes even better knives out of those pretty nice steels.
Nice. He said that I think on his site, I was reading through it, he's like, I used to make knives, but then everyone wanted my steels. Now I just do that all the time.
Yeah, yep. I'm very, very happy to get one of his knives into my collection. That's fixed blades are pretty much all I collect at this point. Another person I'd love to shout out is Will Freeman. The kid's like 15 or 16, and he's making fixed blades that just blow my mind.
Cool. What else is going on, guys? What else? What new knives have you been getting there, Mikey?
Well, I got total opposites. Actually, I texted them to Ian this week. I got the CMF,
uh-huh.
And I got my first Craig Brown knife. I got a servo.
I like those.
Yeah, it's a little large for my taste, but it's gorgeous. It's like a dressy one, Bjorkman's twist blade with a Timascus show scale. It's that milling pattern number one. Frank, you probably know what that one is. Very fine.
What number is it?
It is. It's in the 60s. 63 or 67 or something like that.
Very nice, man. Very nice.
Really nicely made. Could not be more different from this nice compact CMF. And that was it. Yeah. So it was a nice week. What about you?
Servo is a big knife. Servo is a big knife.
Yeah, really nicely made from end to end. It's really nice. I kind of knew it would be nice though, right? Like I got to feel, I think a couple of yours. And also just a bunch of shows from other people that we know in common. So I knew what I was getting.
Yeah.
Really, really nice though. Well, yeah. What about, did you get anything this week, Frank?
Actually I am, the most recent one I got was a Jonas Iglesias knife.
Mm.
You saw that one-off bolt.
It's so nice.
That's a neat piece. That is a very interesting piece that I came across because I traded a BBM for it. I got a heck of a deal for it, and it's kind of incredible. It's he makes a nice knife. Have you met Jonas, Ian?
I sure have.
He makes a very nice knife.
The which one is the recurve one? Which one do you have? The
Vault. I have a Vault.
That is on my list of knives to get.
I think we talked about it. So you said you really like the recurve that he's doing now. I figured out that the guy that ordered this knife specifically requested to not have a recurve, so that's why it's shaped the way it is.
What a weirdo.
I know that you had mentioned that you know, you might prefer to have the recurve shape, but that's why. And I'm waiting patiently for two knives, actually, right now. The Thorburn that's coming in that has a Damacor blade on it that has that really dark black finish.
Yeah, it looks crazy.
That Ian was talking about. We're going to see what it looks like in real life. It's a bit of a Matrails knife. I definitely like threw everything at it. But he really executed it well. It's going to be crazy looking, and it'll be fun. And then I'm waiting on the MK1 RC from Chuprin and Carter.
Oh, right.
Oh, God, I love Carter, man.
They're working on those right now.
Oh,
and they're,
me too.
But. Yeah, they're good guys, man. Rob is the man. I just made a video just this week about showcasing all of his knives and sort of talking about him.
Yeah, dude, Rob is such a carryable person.
Carryable person?
Dude, he's tiny. I actually remember it. On the last episode of your old podcast, you guys talked about how I mostly just carried him around a Blade Show.
Yes.
Yeah. Very dude, he's basically pocket sized.
Just rides on your shoulder. He makes such epic knives. He really does.
I haven't seen that video yet, Frank, because I'm not in the. I got to up my Patreon game. But even the thumbnail from that video was fucking bananas. How many were in there? Seven?
I had like eight knives in total showing off his work. Just kind of talking about I'm the video. I wish I could do him justice. It's impossible to do somebody justice in a few minutes of talking, but just trying to hype him up. I really like his work, and these guys really wanted to get their knives on camera, and I was like, okay, you can send me your full dress Carters. I'll play with him for a couple of days.
Hey, I think a lot of it's just the fact that Rob is such a nice person on top of being a phenomenal maker.
That's it. That's what I said at the end of the video. It's just like, you know, these knives are great. Other people make great knives, but he's such a cool and likable person. It makes it special. Kind of like with your knives, Ian. You're a good guy.
Sure, you can say that.
Yeah, man, you're like giving to charity. You just did a charity raffle, didn't you?
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Let's talk about it. It's the holidays, man. It's the holidays.
Yeah, you should talk about that one. That was a pretty fucking cool move.
Yeah, I don't like making big deals with that.
Well, I think that you deserve recognition for doing good things. You're a good guy.
We did a charity raffle for a custom steak knife. We raised about $1,800, a little bit more than that for Toys for Tots. I actually just delivered all those toys today.
That is very kind of you, man. You consistently are a very generous and charitable member of the community. This is not the only time you've done something like that, and it's a very cool thing, man. I see that. It's cool.
I take a lot of inspiration from my mother. I'm what they call a mama's boy. So I give a lot of credit to her for giving me that side. Because in reality, I'm actually a Grinch. I hate Christmas. Like, I hate to say it, but like, I don't do great in family type party situations because I don't like parties or situations or people giving me things.
Or joy.
I hate joy. It's terrible. I don't know. I'd much prefer the giving aspect of Christmas than I do to the receiving aspect. I tell, whether or not I take it seriously, I do tell people to donate to charity instead of giving to me.
That's the move.
I think ultimately it does more good. I mean, at this point in my life, I can afford most of the things that I want, save being anything over $100. So. That's just because I'm cheap, not because I can't afford it.
Cool.
But definitely charity is the way to go.
Well, that's very kind of you, man. That's good. You guys doing anything fun for Christmas? No? You just hate it? You're just going to be Grinching it up?
I like to do real short, like out in 2 hours with the family, and then I'm back, and I'll like super low key.
I'll bring a couple bottles of wine to every party, and then I'll have a good time.
Yeah, Ian, so where do you, I mean, so you've only been, I know you've only been doing this for under 2 years. I mean, what about any general plans in the future? How you could see it going, sort of, you know, expansion type shit, or having somebody working with you, or, getting heat in your shed?
Oh, well, if my non-existent comedian plan pans out, then I'm going to quit knife making. But seeing as that probably won't happen, I do plan on getting heat put in the shop.
There you go. Big step.
Insulation and drywall, man. 2 hour fireproof. Two big layers.
Big step.
Oh, you know it. So that's kind of on the radar for the future. And then I don't plan on having an employee. That just sounds like a lot of paperwork. So.
Yeah.
I enjoy just doing it myself. I mean, the one thing about knife making that no one ever tells you is how lonely it is.
Mm. Right, being you're out, just doing it yourself.
Yeah, being out, being outside, in an empty, cold shed for 10, 12, 14 hours a day, it gets lonely quickly. So yeah. I find myself listening to podcasts, audiobooks, music, YouTube videos, to the point where I'm actually considering putting a TV in there. Not so much to watch, but just to have any form of communication or entertainment on.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you listen? You ever listen to our podcast?
Very frequently.
Nice, man.
Sometimes the same episode every day for like a week, just so I know what the sounds of your voice sound like.
He's
so
Frank, he's not lying. When I saw him at the show, Ian, you made some super specific reference to like the middle of one of the episodes, and I was like, wow, this motherfucker actually does listen.
Every day. I do.
Yeah. No, it was not too specific a reference.
Every other day.
That's great. That is great.
Hey, at least you don't need a fridge to keep all your beer cold in the shed right now, though. So that's...
Funny enough, I called my dad a couple weeks ago, and I said, Dad, you know the best part about drinking a beer in an uninsulated shop? And he said, Ian, what is that? And I said, you don't have to care whether or not it gets warm, because it's not going to happen.
Nice. Hey. Ian, as the demand, you know, continues to grow for your stuff and you become more and more popular and stuff, you have any thoughts at all? You give a shit either way about, you know, secondary market, secondary pricing, or how they might end up on dealers and stuff. You care about that stuff at all?
That is a complicated question. As far as actual secondary goes, I'm not going to go chasing my secondary prices. I mean, ultimately, that's not up to me to decide, and I'm very happy in the situation where I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
As far as dealers getting my work, I don't want to say I care. Honestly, it's kind of the opposite. I don't care. I mean, it's your knife. You kind of do what you want with it. My issue comes with dealers kind of jumping in on lottos and then immediately flipping them. While there's nothing against that, I appreciate everyone entering my lottos, and especially dealers, as it shows interest in my work. I tend to do the lottos more for the customer rather than the dealer. I want someone to be able to get my work from me for my price. And yeah. I'm the kind of maker who appreciates someone sending me a knife back after 8 months and saying, hey, Ian, I put this through a tree and I cut down a house
and then
I stabbed a car. Can you please fix it? I'm the kind of maker who's just like, yeah, absolutely. Send that to me. So it really gives me a lot of pleasure, and it kind of makes this job all worthwhile at the end of the day when I get a customer getting it, instead of it going to someone else's hands where it has the ability to sit for a while or be priced to a point where the person who's buying it won't use it.
Speaking of people who have your knives, how does somebody get a knife from you?
Patience.
Is that possible now?
Also a loaded question.
The answer is no.
Mostly no. Certain situations, I will bend my rules. I do like to, when I travel, I'm one of those people who gets incredibly anxious when I'm not in the shop. To the point where on my honeymoon, when I got married to my wife, I almost had an anxiety attack because I was freaking out that I wasn't working. So now when I travel, I try and hand deliver at least one knife to kind of push my anxiety off to the side.
Like so, being productive? Yeah.
Yeah, as long as I'm getting something done. Like my trip to New York, I made Mike that knife. And in my mind, that was me doing something productive on a day that was set aside to not work. Which pushed my anxiety to the side. I hate to put it that way, but that's how it is. I've always been like that. Like I worked 5 years at Starbucks and I called out sick one time.
Nice. You know, it's a certain type of person that works that hard. I've not called in sick in 5.5 years at work. Jesus. Definitely.
It is a blessing and a curse. It is. On one hand, you look good with your work ethic. On the other hand, it's just sometimes you need to get away from it, but you don't know how. But to answer your actual question, if you're traveling somewhere or you live somewhere where I'll be, just like let me know and I'll see what I can do.
Oh man, you're about to get a fucking ton of
unless you live near me. People in Pennsylvania don't count.
I think the people who listen to this are going to be, you know, in the know about Ian, and if they wanted a knife from him, they would have already asked. I'm pretty sure.
Yes, I get asked
sort of
times a week.
Yeah, it's a self-limiting crowd.
That's actually why I do lottos, not first come first serve. I think it's ultimately the most fair way of spreading my work around.
I think that's a very fair way of letting something go.
So when you attend shows next year, you'll be doing lottos for your stuff?
I'm not totally sure yet. I think I want to do some first come first serve to reward those people who are there so early. And then the remainder of the work will be, I'll probably split it into two batches where I'll have two lotto sheets and one lotto sheet. I'll pick like the first four people, and those four people get their choice in chronological order of which knife from those four they want. I think that'll be the best way to do that.
An auction pieces, maybe.
And then an auction. Yeah, I was going to say, two auction pieces.
I think it's two or three auction pieces. It depends on how many knives I bring.
That's a lot of knives.
I'm hoping for 15 knives at Blade Show this year.
You just started. You just said it. You got 6 months, dude.
Yeah. I know. I made fun of that earlier, but I actually already have a couple blades cut out for Blade Show.
I mean, I can only imagine. It just takes so much time for each one of these things. So, you know, it's not even a question about how many hours per knife. It's just like they just take for a long time.
For sure.
Well, I hope that I get to see you at Blade Show. I know I had a great time with you last year and Mike. It's going to be even more fun this year for sure.
Lots of hugs.
Can't wait.
Lots of hugs.
Is anybody going to real quick, Frank, are you going out to TKI?
No, man. I think at this stage of my life, I'm really only going to be able to swing Blade Show each year for the foreseeable future until I am making better money.
Until your Patreon really blows up.
Until my Patreon blows up. Until I finish residency and fellowship. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's when you're going to be buying knee knives, too.
That's right. That's when I'll be buying like CMF Metalworks.
You can buy my Alonga Azona, or however the hell you pronounce that.
All of those things. I'm going to get you to put meteorite inlays in Mokume in the blade.
Oh, gross. Then...
Exactly. You're going to be like, no.
Got to come up for the New York show. It's such a nice, easy low. It's such an easy show to attend. And you get to hang out in New York for a couple days.
I would. It's where I live right now is difficult to travel to some places. I have a direct flight to Atlanta, but like everything else is a huge pain in the ass and very expensive.
Oh, so Blade is super easy for you, though.
Blade is very easy for me. Gotcha. To do.
Nice. Yeah, most places in the north have like dog sleds. I think Frank actually just has alligators attached to like a like a wagon.
That's right. They're alligators and armadillos.
There we go.
Well, it's been fun hanging out. This might be a short episode since there are only three of us tonight. Everyone else had some other obligations. We are going to try to get everybody together another time. Ian, thank you so much for coming and talking with us tonight. Maybe we can get you on another episode and we can have like a topic that we all just shoot the shit about. Have a fun time.
Yeah, man. I'm down to talk about whatever. So,
thank you. And if you guys don't know about Ian's work, Ian, how can people find out about you and your work?
I work at the local strip club Tuesday to Sunday, generally from 7 to 9 a.m., not p.m. Yep. I get the off shifts. You guys can come there. I only accept $2 bills.
Worth every penny.
Also, I am a full-time knife maker, so you guys can find me on Instagram at CMF Metalworks, or you can yell really loud outside your window and see if I answer. Don't feel bad if I don't. And, yeah.
Very nice. And Mike, where can everyone find you, man?
Everybody can find me at Bloom and Blade on Instagram. That's it.
Excellent. And I
am Frank. Where can they find you?
I am AKA Dr. Frunky on YouTube, Instagram, and gmail.com. So you can send me an email if you want.
And if you have a brain problem.
And if you have a brain or spine problem in the Northwest Louisiana area, I probably will take care of you. Anyways,
that's too specific. Why did that add all these rules?
You're about to get so many DMs about that, too. My neck is a little bit sore.
Can you
sore.
Just amputate my brain?
You know, I got a backiotomy.
My back hurts a little bit, but I love Rob Carter. What can you do for me?
I bought a knife off of eBay, and it doesn't seem real.
Bring it on, people.
Patreon.com/what?
You can also find me on patreon.com/DrFrunky, where you can get access to some of that stuff.
There's another Patreon that you guys don't know about. It's also on Patreon. Dr. Frunky does experiments on people. You guys can fund that one too.
No, that's not a thing. That is not a thing. Not a thing. Anyways.
That's an invite only thing, man. Come on.
That's triple X. You know, you got
to
have
a lot. You don't have to lie, man.
Good.
My favorite tool is a broken bottle.
Well, okay. Complete psychopath. Good. Yep, good. Okay. we're gonna end it on that one. You guys, thank you for listening, and have yourselves a very knife life.